Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin and you're looking to make the leap from Band of Schmooze to the Band of the Full-On Pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. Very, very nice place. Large corridors, 31 spacious rooms, excellent parking, does not smell like pee or vomit. Great place to go and practice. You can find them at spaceatx.com or call them at 512-448-9518. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Now, let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic slash different show for you guys today. Yeah. On the show today, I have Matt Ott from Black Fret. That is a patron organization, a nonprofit that gives $10,000 grants to 10 different artists every year. And I was asked by my friends Amber and Heather from Juice Consulting if I would like to have Matt on to talk about them launching their 2015 campaign, because they just gave away 10 grants to 10 winners. And I looked at the list and I realized there was only one person on there that I hadn't interviewed yet, and that is Lincoln Durham. And he is on the show today with Matt Ott, and we talk about Lincoln and his career and his very unique presentation of his music with his one-man band. It's fantastic. He made records with Ray Wiley and George Reef, and he made his latest record, Exodus of the Deemed Unrighteous, with George Reef. It's gothic, very dark music, very fantastic music, great stories of, you know, gothic tales of, like, murder and craziness. And Matt fills us in on how 2014 went for Black Fret and what their plans are for 2015. And they have a VIP launch party this coming Saturday, January 24th, at the Gibson Brand Showroom, featuring Aaron Behrens and The Midnight Stroll. So look forward to this conversation. It's a great conversation. Lincoln's a fantastic guy. He's about to go on tour. Check it out. We talk all about it. We talk about his records, and we talk all about Black Fret. And if you want to know more about blackfret.org or become a patron yourself, you can go to blackfret.org and find out what's going on there, okay? All right. So before we go to this conversation, let me tell you what's going on with me. I have done a lot since I've last talked to you. I went out Friday night and saw quite a few bands with a friend of mine. And let's see. We saw, okay, let me start with this. I went to go see some friends of mine. And this is where I was meeting my friend. So I couldn't just leave. So when I got to this place, I realized, oh shit, I misread it and thought they were playing here, but they were playing at the place above or below in the listing. So I'm at this place and I can't really leave because I'm waiting for someone. And as I'm waiting, I order a drink because this person's going to show up a little after me. Well, my friends, I saw a very terrible band. It wasn't a terrible band. It was a great band with a very, very terrible singer. That their thing, their delivery, I just didn't understand it. I didn't understand what they were going for. I understand that it was a jazz situation and that she had to sing things in this jazz tone, but it was almost like, remember that skit with Anna Gasteyer and Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live where, you know, she's singing, insane in the brain, insane in the membrane, you know, but like really terrible white, like someone's mom or stepmom from the suburbs that can sing on key, but just has no character to who they are as a singer, except for this very square slash jazz person, but not really jazz. I don't know. Anyway, so I saw that. And I endured it, and then my friend got there, and at that point, I was fascinated with it. and I just couldn't stop watching. So we did that. Then we went and saw my friend Matt Sadler did a set at the Velveeta Room. He did some stand-up comedy. Fantastic. Always good to see Matt from the Charlie Hodge Show. I see him all the time on there, and he's actually been on this show. Just happened that he was doing a set there, and so we ran in and saw him, and it was great. I actually got shushed because I started talking at one point. But at that point, I had a few drinks, and I was kind of having a good time. We had had espressos at the Cuban place, and we were walking around kind of crazy and checking out downtown. Then we went and saw Jimmy Vaughn play with my friend Mike Flanagan. That was great. I still don't know who this drummer guy was that was there. But yeah, what a great night of music. Saw a lot of music. Well, I saw terrible music. I saw some good comedy and then saw some great music. So it was a great night all around. I've seen some movies. I saw Inherent Vice. That was really good. I always feel like with Paul Thomas Anderson, like his movies, like when they're over, you're like, what was the thing? You know what I mean? Like sometimes when the movies end, you're like, what? How is what? You got to think about it for a while and you start realizing. So I liked it. And then I saw American Sniper, which was really intense. Really good, but really intense, man. Really dark. That whole Navy SEAL scene is so intense to me, you know, because those guys are, they have a different mindset than I do. You know what I mean? And I'm glad they're there. Let me tell you that. I'm serious. You know, my old girlfriend, Jesse, her brother was a Navy SEAL. He accidentally shot himself, but he had gone through the Navy SEAL training and stuff, and I'd hung out with him a little bit. It's a little darkness, there's an intensity. And then like later on, after he had passed away, I hung out with one of his friends for a weekend that was active and like going to Afghanistan at the time and like doing stuff. He was in the Navy SEAL scene, like SEAL Team 7 or something. And man, yeah, it was, whew, that's really intense. The movie's really intense. That whole war thing freaks me out. I would never want to do it. I'm glad. I'm just a musician that goes around making people happy and I don't have to shoot somebody. I don't down that because somebody has to do it. And so I admire those guys for doing it, but also they're really intimidating to me and scare me. So that's my story. That's what I did. I've done a lot of stuff like that. Saw some movies, did some stuff. The sun's shining. I've been outside running around. I've gone running the last couple of days. My left leg's a little stiff today. I'm sure this is really entertaining to you guys. I'm going to get off this mic now. And you're going to hear from Matt Ott from Black Fret. It's a great organization. It's a great nonprofit. You should check it out. Go to blackfret.org. Find out if you can get involved. If you've ever wanted to be a patron of the arts, this is your chance. You can do it right here in your own community. And you can find other people that are patrons. It's like a little social club and people hang out. And they get together once a month and they see bands. And they go to people's houses and see bands. And they go to special places and see bands. So check out their launch party on Saturday, January 24th at the Gibson Brand Showroom. All right? Also, Lincoln Durham, amazingly talented dude, blew me away when I started listening to his music. I didn't know who he was or anything. I looked at the list and I was like, oh, this guy's never been on the show. Let's see what's going on with him. I checked him out. My mind was blown. I saw a bunch of live stuff. Go to LincolnDurham.com and check him out. I mean, he's very, very intense. It's produced by one of my favorite people, George Reef. Favorite dudes to hang out with and play music with. He has actually been on the show as well. And Lincoln will be on tour this week. He'll be playing Fitzgerald's Thursday, January 22nd in Houston, and the Beatnik in New Orleans on Friday, January 23rd. And then on Saturday, January 24th, he will be at Jackrabbits in Jacksonville, Florida. So if you are in any of those places, do yourself a favor. Go see this one-man band and have him blow your mind. All right? So let's find out about Lincoln Durham, and let's find out about Black Fret with Matt Ott and in our conversation, our little three-way conversation of love. All right, let's get down.
Oh, father, don't you recognize your own kin? It's been a lifetime, maybe two. My hair is longer and my face strong thin from the years of searching for the truth. Ooh, in a valley for the bones. Ooh, gonna rise up and head on home.
Yeah,
we need to, yeah, this is the wrong direction.
Well, over the last year of Black Fret, this is the first year of Black Fret, and this new 10 group of artists, Gina Chavez, Amy Cook, Aaron Ivey, Elizabeth McQueen, Mother Falcon, Quiet Company, the Rocket Boys, Wild Child, Graham Wilkinson, and our other guest today, who's just sitting there so quietly, Lincoln Durham.
Hello.
Uncharacteristically quiet.
Yeah, I'm...
Is it? Well, no, actually, you're good at quiet and you're good at loud.
Here's something I'm gonna lay on you, Lincoln. I've been listening to your music all morning, so when you came in, I was like, fucking, this guy scares me.
Nice.
Like, you are...
I get that a lot.
Yeah, I don't... I don't want to know you, man. No, I'm joking. I totally do.
I get that a lot. When I'm in new areas, people, when they first meet me in person, they kind of think, oh, you know, I thought you were going to be a lot meaner or a lot scarier.
Yeah.
I think I get it all out in the music, and then I'm purged, and then I can just, be regular guy.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. I'm just, I grew up a dark little serious kid, and that's the way I write now.
What were you like? How did you show that? Like, were you into like there's a gothic thing with you. Like, was your favorite superhero Batman? And like,
absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I was obsessed with Batman. Okay. Anything, you know, as a kid, you know, I liked my dad, he'd probably let me, you know, let me watch anything. You know, I would watch all the old horror movies, you know, and things like that, that would just come on, you know, TV. And, you know, reading books, I just always, you know, gravitated towards the gothic, the pose of the world, you know, things like that. And I don't know, that's just always what appealed to me, you know, and it just as I kind of found a voice in music, I that's the way I started to write.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really I'm not, you know, if we're sitting having beers, I'm really not that dark to talk to, but I just have a really, really pessimistic, dark, bleak outlook on life and the world and people and everything else.
Is that how you became pals with Ray Wiley Hubbard?
Yeah. You know, probably so, yeah.
And I don't mean to blow your cover, but I have to say, getting to know you over the last year and a half, 2 years that I've known you, you're one of the nicest people I've ever met. I mean, you've got a heart of gold.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I can totally appreciate the bleak outfit. Now would be great. Okay. Yeah, please. Cash, please.
It's circular. Okay,
yeah, but no, it's I think everybody has multiple sides. And I totally see the connection between bleak and pessimistic and, you know, heart of gold, you know?
Yeah.
Totally understand that. And that's Lincoln.
When I listen to your songs, it sounds like you're a guy that is almost a frustrated novelist.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a very, very good description. No one's ever said that, but that actually is,
there's a cinematic kind of like, I mean, you can feel and see those songs when you're listening to them.
Oh,
I spent a lot of time listening
to
your stuff today.
And I did, well, thank you, first of all. I did bring you a CD as well.
Oh, thanks.
You know, and I've actually, I read a lot. I love old literature, and I've tried to write, actually, you know, books, short stories at first, you know, that could maybe be in it.
Yeah,
I can't. It's terrible. But so if I find I'm better in, you know, like I'm a novelist in the Twitter world. So, you know, if I can consolidate, you know, down into, and so that works out musically, you know, I just can say, okay, well, let me try to say a lot in one sentence. And that works out better for me. When I'm allowed to elaborate, it's very tacky and and overworked, I think.
Okay. Well, your songs are loaded. Like every word counts, and they're, it's beautiful. It's like, they're like, they have a cinematic quality to them, and they, you know, they take you different places, and you really go a lot of different places sonically with being a one man. I know that you've had drums and stuff on some of the stuff, but I imagine that some of that stuff is how you do it live. Some of it's done with nice acoustic guitar, and then some of it's done with some weird one string thing in a pedal board.
Yeah, I try to keep it live. I try, you know, it is just one man. I'm up there, I stand up there, but I've got several drums around me, you know, guitars, cigar boxes, cigar box guitars, all kinds of junk. But it all really stems from just trying to make a 90-minute set flow and keep it interesting.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm doing it, you know, because you can just slight little variations of sounds and textures can keep a show very interesting, keep the audience on their toes. And so it all just comes from what can I do next that yeah. might be simple, but that would also, you know, just liven the crowd back up.
Yeah, I watched some of those videos, and it's cool to see that you go for all of this sonic stuff without the looping thing, which I'm not against, but there's just so much of that, and sometimes it makes people's songs take three times as long.
Right, yeah.
And stuff.
No, I'm not a looper, and I don't. No.
Keep it organic.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I don't have any problem with it, but I like to just kind of do it all in the moment, and my biggest passion in life has been how much noise can I make out of one person?
Anyone who hasn't seen Lincoln needs to get out to see him.
Yeah.
Bottom line, to watch. I mean, I've seen you play, I don't know, more than half a dozen times now, I guess. And watching you play, watching the audience watch you play, it's incredible. People react to Lincoln in an amazing way. And almost have a hard time comprehending how so many different sounds and such a rich sound can come out of one person. And I wouldn't say effortlessly, because you see the effort you're putting into it on stage. It's hard work.
Yeah.
And you see every note and every beat of the suitcase and everything. It's incredible.
You guys are too kind. Can I just bring you along with my on all my gigs?
I'll be in your entourage.
What if we
can I call you?
What if
I'll be in your entourage.
That long of an introduction at every single one of your
gigs. I would love that.
Alyssa, okay, it's your 10-minute introduction.
Alyssa, the music speaks for yourself.
My wife, she would roll her eyes because she has to go. She's the tour manager, and she travels with me everywhere. But I'm that guy that, you know, it just the slightest little thing will just, my confidence will go, you know, into the ground.
Of course.
You know, so yeah, if I could just keep an entourage of people just
constantly,
you know, peppering me with you know,
they're called fluffers.
Yeah. All right, I need some fluffers.
Dare to dream.
Maybe I could rule the world with fluffers.
So what I was gonna say is you went through your first class of, what do you call them, recipients?
It's our inaugural class of grant recipients.
Yep. Okay.
And we actually struggled with that a lot, in that it's more than the grant that we hope to provide for them. We hope to, you know, hook them in with a community of advisors and mentors from our what is now a 20-person advisory board that we hope to have grow.
Can you name advisors?
Sure, absolutely.
Who are they?
Tim Palmer.
Who
great produced Pearl Jam's 10, Robert Plant's Now and Zen, Quiet Company's albums. Terry Lacona does a little thing in town called ACL. Austin City
Limits. Oh, I thought American Crime Laboratories. That's very popular.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes. Tom Vail of Frog Music Licensing. Joe Stallone is a music lawyer in town. We've got Heather Wagner Reed, who does marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Sosa, who's an incredible horn player, playing with Maroon 5 and a bunch of folks.
Yeah, not just incredible horn player. That guy is a mover and a shaker. Like, that guy knows how to go out and make a buck in this business, which is as we move through this business, you realize that that's one of the best trades you can have.
Yeah. And we are honored, flattered to have all of them on board. And that's just five or six of them. We have people, you know, in most of the disciplines, you know, Kevin Womack from Playing in Traffic Records, lots of folks who are here to impart their wisdom to the artists. Lincoln's actually met with a bunch of the advisors. So when they get their $10,000 grant, we want them to be able to use it in the very best way. You know, book the best kind of tour they can. You know what to look for when they're looking at a record deal, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so we're tremendously honored to have given away $100,000 at the Paramount last November. And we're hopeful, if enough people join Black Fret and become patrons of local music, that we're actually going to be able to double that this year and give $200,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Growing fast.
That's amazing.
Knock on wood.
Would it be 20 recipients or it's still 10? Like
we
10
don't,
recipients getting 20,000 or 10 recipients?
We don't
recipients?
Know yet. We actually want to make sure that we do increase the size of the grants as quickly as possible. We feel that more money to, you know, what are being recognized as artists worthy of support. Not that every artist isn't, but more money to them is going to allow them to build that bridge over the chasm to get to the place where they're going to have a sustainable career in music more quickly. Our hope is to grow quickly enough to eventually, you know, give upwards of, you know, $30,000-$25,000 grants a year, you know, within the next, you know, 5 years or so. That's our ultimate goal, just in Austin.
Shit, you got in too soon, man.
No. Well,
no, I'm joking.
Yeah. The cool thing.
Can you re-grant?
Yes.
Yeah, really? That's what I was about. Oh, wow. I found that out at the show at the Black Fret or Black Ball. Mm-hmm. They announced that up there because, you know, I'm notorious for not knowing the rules of anything, you know, so I'm just finding stuff out as I go. But yeah, they can actually, you know, just because you've been nominated or won doesn't mean that you can't keep getting renominated again, which is very cool as well.
All based on the idea that, you know, you build a bridge halfway across that canyon. You know, you don't want to say, okay, hey, we're not, you know, no more money for more wood,
we
want to, if our members are recognizing Lincoln as, you know, one of the best musicians in Austin, we don't want to say, oh, but you can't recognize him as the best next year. You know, he's not best anymore because he got money last year. So
that's true.
You know, best is the best.
Unless some other one man band guy comes out, it's just a lot better than you. funny.
did I tell you my one man band plans? Watch out, Lincoln. I'm on your heels. But our hope is to not only grow the size of the grants, but also grow the number of grants that we're giving. We want to keep the pool fresh. So much talent in this town. When I look at we had 20 nominees last year for 10 grants. We want to keep the percentage of grant recipients very high. We don't want to turn it into a battle of the bands where, you know, 50 bands are going to scrap over 10 grants. Yeah, you know, we want it to be a very respectful process. But we also, I mean, there's so many bands, that we want to get in front of our members. There's so many incredible musicians that are making amazing music. And then they just, the new bands just pop up on the scene. You know, it's incredible. Like, pow, where they come from? You know, the answer is, you know, they've been slaving at making their music for a long time and all of a sudden something clicked and here they are. But, you know, this out of nowhere band thing is real and true. You know,
obviously you're not like, hey, send me your stuff, but how do you guys come across these bands?
They're brought to us in many
by members.
By members, yeah. In fact, that's one of the best things about being a member. You get to say, hey, I really love band X. You know, give them a listen and, you know, we'll get them in to play a Black Fret gig. Or we'll publicize one of their gigs out at a venue to our members, you know, to get them exposed to the music. Our advisors bring us. In fact, that's our advisors also point bands out to us. So we've got, you know, 20 music industry folks telling us about stuff. And we count on our musicians like Lincoln and, Grant Himmler from Little Radar, sent me a list of his 45, you know, favorite Austin bands.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I said, send me a list of your, you know, your 20 favorites. He goes, I'll send you 40. I got like 45 bands and they're incredible, you know, and I learned a lot, you know, so there's music in this town is like peeling an onion. You know, you just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and finding more and more talent. And frankly, I feel like we can't grow quickly enough to support this music. And
that's good. I mean, there's a lot of music going on all the time and every night. How much do you get out and see music?
Not nearly enough. That's why I rely on our members and advisors and so on. I'm a single dad. You know, my son's getting old enough to where I can actually make it out. But a lot of the times, you know, I will go out. And the band I want to see, you know, that's supposed to start at 11 won't start till 12:30, you know,
right,
or whatever. And I'm like, well, crap, man, you know, I got to be home, you know, I got to get to work tomorrow, this and that. And that's a common experience for a lot of our members. A lot of our members, you know, I moved to Austin in 78. I went and saw music all the time. It was what I did. It was my life. And, but then, you know, I got a day job and I had a kid and you kind of fall out of the music scene, you know? And I would look at the Chronicle. You mentioned the last time I was here. I'd look at the Chronicle and my eyes would blur. I'm like, you know, who are these bands? You know, who am I supposed to go see? And we're very proud of the fact that Black Fret has taken a lot of people who have that exact story, have that exact experience, even a lot of people who've moved to Austin and who've heard about the music scene but don't know how to tap into it. You know, it is as simple as going to Mohawk on any night and seeing whoever's playing there and having a great time. But, you know, at the same time, you know, that's for a lot of people, that's a big step when they're not used to a music scene like Austin. Yeah. So Blackfoot's really invigorated it for a lot of people. And we're seeing, you know, fast growth because of that.
Yeah. It's weird because it grows so fast and it moves so fast.
Yep.
I've even had bands where I read this thing about like the best 14 bands in Austin, and it had come out like the week before, and when I reached out, the bands had broken up.
Yeah, right. Already. Right. Right.
But you don't have to worry about breaking up, do you, Lincoln? That's a great thing.
I don't. No. That was one of the reasons why I started doing what I do. I did, you know, the band things for a while. And I don't have to fight with anybody except, you know, the voices in my head. I have to fight with those, but otherwise I can make all the gigs.
Yeah. So
I don't have to call anybody to find out. There's no there's no divas other than me. So
are you a pretty disciplined writer? Like, do you have like some guys get up and write at 7?
No, I don't.
I don't know who these guys are, but
no, I envy those guys, but yeah. My writing is always, it seems like as soon as I start looking for it, it's gone. And so I have to just kind of live my life and do what I'm going to do. And then it'll find me one day. And once it does, I know it's there. But I've done that before where I was trying to get an album at a certain time. And so, okay, well, I've got this month off. We're not booking or we're not touring. I'll write. And I couldn't do anything. It's just whenever it hits me.
Yeah.
So I just have to just wait. If it's a year until I make a record or two, that's what it is. Just whenever the songs finally, when 10 songs finally find me,
right,
then I'll go again.
Do you get a lot of songs in like shows and movies and stuff?
Not too much yet. We've had a couple, I can't remember what the spots were, but we've had a couple licensing deals. Yeah. But we also just now finally got licensing back, so, or another licensing agent. So hopefully we will. We get people, you know.
What kind of team do you have?
Well, that talking about or what Matt had brought out earlier, we had a small kind of a team. Alyssa and I, we just have kind of, you know, we started just muddling through this whole thing, the two of us, you know, without really a team. A few years
and you're
ago.
Married?
Yeah, her and I are married. Yeah,
man,
yeah.
That must be amazing.
It's a really
so
weird.
Fun.
It's really weird our relationship because we don't. It's not the same type of relationship most people would think. We really don't fight. We really actually are kind of, you know, best friends. So we don't get the typical way what people might think of when they think of husband and wife on tour. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know anything about music. I was doing this thing. Let's see what happens. Over time, we would get booking, things like that. But we never really had an actual team, you know, per se.
Right,
so
right.
One of the things that Blackfoot helped us to do was that mentor program, which allowed us to, you know, go to these people. A lot of, you know, all of which are willing to give their opinion, help you out in any way they can, but they'll also, some of them willing to work with you. So, you know, if you want to pick their brain for, you know, a while, they'll do that over lunch or dinner. But if you also want to try to hire them to do what they do, you know, a lot of them, if they're interested, you know, then you've already got kind of a foot in the door, which we did.
If I was a manager guy, I would manage you.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I don't know what your work ethic is like, but
you're
really good.
How many shows did you play in 2014?
Yeah, you must have worked hard at some point.
Yeah, we tour.
So you've got it in you.
Yeah. No, we do. I can drive people crazy with that. It's an obsession, the music is for me, and it's all I think about. We did. It wasn't in 2014, but in the span of a year, I think we did almost 200 shows coast to coast. So and, you know, writing, practicing all the time. So I do work hard. I don't have a manager. So, you know, if you ever find yourself needing something else.
I would be a terrible manager. But, I mean, did you have a publicist? Like, what you're doing? You're doing all these tours. You're booking it yourself. Are you teaming up with other bands from cities and doing show trades and stuff? Or how are you doing?
No,
do this?
I think, really, it started... I was in advertising for a long time, doing art for advertising. And so... a lot of it, I think, started with the social media and, you know, kind of being able to work. Yeah, being able to work it in the proper way was a great grassroots way to get out there. And, you know, now we have a booking agent, you know, but they had come to us. We were just doing it on our own for a long time. I would open for bands, you know, bigger bands, when I could get in there. But at this point now it's grown word of mouth, you know, doing videos and, you know, with YouTube, Facebook and
I didn't look at Twitter. The plays. Do you have a lot of plays on YouTube?
Yeah, I don't know anymore how many there are, but yeah, there's a couple that are quite up there. And so now it seems that, you know, we're able to go up to Seattle and New York and have you know, they're not the pockets of fans that we have, say, in Dallas or
right.
Austin, but they're growing, and it seems to me the only real reason is people talking about it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, which is really
it's
weird.
Cool because you do have a thing that you can it's cool that I mean, and I say that it's cool and it's not facetious at all. I'm being totally honest when I say it. It's cool that you did this time in advertising because. One of the things that I was going to say is there's a, like, it seems like down to your shoes, to your hair, your clothes, your mustache, your instruments, your guitar, some weird microphone you were using and some stuff. Everything looks great.
Thank you.
And it looks, you know what I mean? Like, I like that. I don't want a guy that just rolled out of bed to be up there doing a thing. I want a guy right. that has a defined thing.
And yeah. that's the diva prima donna that really comes across whenever you see Lincoln.
Yeah.
To me it's incredibly authentic and I mean now that you mention
totally
it.
Authentic.
Yeah, now that you mention it it's
but there's some thought put into it and it's put together.
Absolutely.
It's good.
The thing is you know I think cuz I do put a lot of work into that and I think what it is I think there's a balance that you have to find because what some people do is they rely solely on the music, you know, and that may be like the type of people
roll
out of bed, look, you know, this show, which there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, just I'm gonna get up there, I'm gonna strum on the guitar and I'm gonna let the song speak for itself.
Yeah.
Then you've got the others that have no talent
and
it's all
and
show
and
it's
and,
look
yeah.
and again that's not gonna work either. No. And so I think you have to have the basis. I think you have to have the whether it be the talent or the music or the whatever it is, the message, whatever, and then you add that. You know, I think people like Jack White. You know, I think he's done a really good job of having this raw talent,
cool
but then knowing how to sell that
but
talent.
But I have to say, just like Jack White, you know, Jack White would not. Jack White sounds like Jack White, but if he didn't look like Jack White, there'd be a dissonance there. Just the same way
totally.
That if you didn't look the way you do, it would be like, man, I can't believe that sound's coming out of the guy that looks like that.
Yeah.
You know, it all feels right.
Yeah, it's weird. It's real strange. There's a feeling of a time, but then there's a timelessness to your stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
I do. Yeah,
you get a feeling of a time, but you don't know what. Time it is.
That's good. I hope others feel the same way because I've always wanted it to be. You know, I like the old writing styles. You know, and the way I word things, like you were mentioning. You know, the novel type writing. I like the way people talked a long time ago. You know, before we, you know, dumbed ourselves down so much. You know, just that very elegant.
WTF, dude.
Wait, I know.
Yeah, LOL,
exactly.
Brother.
Exactly. Yeah. And when I'm not writing, I'm one of the worst at all that. But you know, I love that, but I also love the you know, the old school style of the, you know, I don't know if you want to call it Americana, but just that old you know, the old blues guys from the turn of the century, but I love all the new bells and whistles that you can put on it. So I hope that eventually it'll be a music, you know, that if the masses ever hear it, that they wouldn't be able to really put a date on it. That's kind of what I was always hoping for.
And what I've loved seeing is our members really responding to Lincoln. You know, he was one of our first nominees and played one of our last shows of our last show of the year before the Black Ball, and you know, got a grant. And I think that all of our nominees were deserving, but to see, I mentioned the way the audience reacts to Lincoln before, and it's an amazing thing to see, because there is a real appreciation. And I think even people who say, oh, I'm not a blues fan, you know, respond to Lincoln, you know, but I'm proud of the way Black Fret, you know, Colin saw Lincoln playing at the Domain like three years ago. He was playing at the Mall.
That is the setting I don't see you in.
Yeah, this was the back in the in the directionless era.
Yeah, so, and Colin said, "Hey man, you're pretty awesome. Do you want to come play a gig?" And that he came and played actually on my birthday in 2012 before we'd even told anyone about Black Fret. We were still talking to musicians then about the idea of Black Fret back in 2012. And we did a little benefit for the Music Foundation, just happened to fall on my birthday, and did it in Colin's backyard. And it was, it blew me away. I still have a recording of Last Red Dawn from that I did on my iPhone, I think, that was just, it's still one of my favorite recordings of yours.
Thank you.
Yeah. So to see that progression, to be able to see that, to know that our members are going to be able to see these artists grow and progress, because there is a lot of change and there is a lot of growth, it's something that I'm loving personally, and I know our members are as well. So
yeah,
it's a neat thing.
So what are you going to do now? Are you working on a new thing, or you've got tours this year?
Yeah, we took a little time off at the very end of the year, which we never do, and it was nice. But I want to
let people know that Alyssa travels with you and does stuff.
Yeah,
because otherwise you're like a one man band that refers to himself as we.
Yeah, that's so weird. Yeah, that always confuses people. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
Alyssa's laughing behind you right now.
I play the music and bang on the stuff, and Alyssa does basically everything else. She's the tour manager and you know, kind of interim manager, just psychiatrist, all that good stuff. So when I talk about we, I mean her and I. Yeah. But I'm starting on a new record this year. I've just about gotten it written, which is going to be fun. I don't know exactly when we'll start recording it, but it'll likely be done this year again with the Black Fret help.
Let me ask you this then: Do you just say you do all your demos for your songs, and you say you have like 19 songs you're gonna do, put out a 10 song album? Would you go and play those songs for some of those guys, like a Tim Palmer, like take a meeting, like, hey, can I play a couple tunes? Tell me if you think they should go on the record or not.
As far as with the Black Fret thing, or just in general,
Black Fret. That.
Yeah, actually, I haven't done that
within
that,
the context of Black Fret.
You should do that.
Yeah,
that would be absolutely would, you know, do something like that. That's always the way to do it. You bring, you know, 20 for 10 or so, and sure, weed out into the best record. I've been trying to think of some things that we could do also, you know, with the demo thing, to let members, Black Fret members, hear early, you know.
Now, is that something that you guys do as incentives for the people that are the members?
It is something that we do. In fact, we've had a couple of really neat experiences over the last couple of weeks. Grant recipients, you know, as, you know, testified by that band and that list of 14 that broke up the next week.
Right. Yeah.
Mainly for that reason alone. You know, Lincoln can't break up with themselves, but to be equitable, we have the bands do stuff to unlock funds. So they get their $10,000, and then if they play a gig out of town, they get $250. If they
give us
the handwritten song sheet to one of their songs, they'll get $300. And they don't have to, but if they want it, that $300, they give us that, and so on. If they give us a demo, that's another couple $100. If they release the song, that's, you know, another $300 for that. So like basically for every song that they write from point of conception to release, each song is going to unlock $1,000. There's a way to unlock $1,000 with each song.
That's
and
awesome.
Thanks. Yeah. And with each of those songs, we're getting content to show our members, you know, here's this Wild Child song, and here, you know, this new Wild Child song that's not even out yet. And here's Kelsey's lyric sheet, you know, that's, you know, got flowers and war paint and crap on it. And it's absolutely beautiful and inspiring. Yeah. And, you know, here's a look into the creative process that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. And, you know, with the band's permission, we'll even say, here's an early demo of this song, and here's the final version that came out on the album. You know, look at the progression here, you know, and here's Lincoln's notes about how that progressed and why verse 3 isn't in there anymore and stuff like that.
That's,
you know,
cool.
So we're really excited about that. And we've had a really incredible opportunity to already unlock some grant dollars for some of our recipients who needed money fast, you know. We've fixed a van so far, you know, by virtue of, you know, an artist unlocked, they needed their van fixed or they couldn't go on tour and they needed merch. And so, you know, they said, you know, we've done these things. Will this unlock funds? We said, yes. And here you go. And so, it got them on the road. And that's huge, to see that happen. And, we're going to put all this out publicly on our website so that people can see
blackfret.org.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you. So people can see what being a patron of music really means, because it's a real impact. It's a direct impact.
And you don't,
it's not some theoretical thing. It's making a difference.
And you don't have to be a millionaire.
No.
To get involved.
No, you don't. We have,
you can be a regular person.
You can be a regular person. In fact,
you have different levels.
We do. We have two different levels.
Okay.
But to become a full member, it's $1,500 a year. And that is a lot of money. I won't even say it sounds like a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But the tax deductible amount of that is about $1,200, you know. So
it's not bad.
Yeah. So it's about $100 a month, but for that $100 a month, you're getting at least one night out for you and a date with free drinks, free food, amazing music. It's going to start on time, going to have the best sound in town. We always use Nomad, or one of the most incredible, you know, sound companies around, actually usually Nomad. And we just make it as incredible of an experience as possible. And they're private events at homes and recording studios. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I have to miss a lot of them. It's terrible. You have one coming up on the 24th, and I thought I was going to be able to go to it.
Yep.
This is the 2015 VIP launch party.
That's right.
And that's Saturday, January 24th at the Gibson Brand Showroom.
That's
featuring Aaron...
Behrens. Yeah.
Okay.
Aaron is...
And Midnight Stroll.
Aaron Behrens and the Midnight Stroll.
Aaron Behrens.
Yep. He is the lead singer of Ghostland Observatory.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is his new project, and
really?
Yeah, it's incredible. You got to check out his EP. It's a 5-song EP. It's on iTunes now.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, great. 5 great songs. I can't wait to see what comes next. We also have Barfield.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and we've got The Digital Wild playing.
Who's that?
The Digital Wild? Oh, incredible. It's, you know, trying to describe them is going to be like, you know, dancing about architecture. You just got to check them out. Digital Wild is amazing. They've been on a lot of those top band lists for Austin this year.
Oh, really?
They'll come out. And yeah, I'm big fans. 5-piece, just beautiful. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep. Yep.
So let me ask you this. Are you guys able to, with the advisory board, would they be able to put people in contact to go out and tour with other people?
Absolutely. In fact, we are really encouraging all of our, not only grant recipients, but also nominees, to get in touch with as many of the advisors as possible. And have seen really beautiful things happen there. Another one of our bands got called up by one of the band members one day. He said, hey, I just have to tell you about this experience we just had with one of the advisors. We all sat down with him and he dropped a truth bomb on the table in front of us. And we all realized, oh my gosh, we're being our own worst enemy right now. And so we got hooked up with a national booking agent for the first time, and we did this and this and this. And so it's a matter of perspective, and it's a matter of getting those people around you that have walked those miles.
Yeah.
And they can say, hey, watch out for this hole here and jump over this, and you're going to love drinking out of that water, and let's go. And that's what all the mentors have signed up to do. And if then, you know, an artist says, oh, hey, Tom, totally dig you. Will you represent me from a music licensing standpoint? You know, then they can enter a normal business relationship, or if they say, hey, Raji, you know, will you book me? And Raji says, you know, oh, well, I'm, you know, booking this kind of act. You know, you should really talk to this person for booking, you know, they'll do that. You know, there are a bunch of really great hearted people who not only have the health of, you know, our artists in mind, but of the Austin ecosystem, yeah. You know, and it's an environment, and it needs to be nurtured. It's our rainforest of music, and we need to stop, you know, we need to fertilize this and keep the trees up.
Yeah. So are you guys?
That's a horrible analogy.
Yeah, that was a weird analogy.
Yeah, that was really freaking weird.
I was just going to pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, thank you. Rainforest of music, man. It's like so cool. Okay, I'm stopping.
No, it is. Yeah. I mean, it really is. Are you guys going to have a South by Southwest showcase or yes?
We do. We've got one of our other advisors, Weston McGowan. Yep, great guy. Hooked us up, and we have a South by showcase. Bands to be announced and date and venue to be announced as are much things with South by. But we're going to have some great Black Fret bands, both grant recipients and nominees there, and it's going to be an incredible slice of Austin music. We're really excited about it.
Do you guys have an office?
We don't.
Oh.
We don't. We're very virtual.
That's good.
You can find us.
Is that good? How do you guys meet? You meet at a place?
We do. We've got, you know, we all have day jobs. Colin and I aren't paid. No one gets paid in the organization except for, you know, contractors that were, you know, we work with Brandon Damaris of Damaris Entertainment, Heather Wagner Reed from Juice Consulting. Yeah.
Love her too.
Yeah. Great people.
All people.
Yeah. And, but we have an amazing team of volunteers and, you know, select consultants, and we eventually do hope to have office space and have some neat plans for that. That, you know, I'll talk about next time. Okay. Yeah, we want to become an Austin institution, and would love to have some space that, you know, could be a killer space where artists can come and hang out and, you know, not only get help from Black Fret, but maybe from other nonprofits and stuff too in town. Because they're amazing ones. Ham, Sim, Austin Music Foundation, Austin Music People.
The Austin Music Foundation moved over here?
They did. They moved down to Riverside. They're beautiful new digs.
Are they open?
They're open.
Okay.
They're open. They're serving bands. They had a great launch party, I guess, just a couple months ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
They did. I was out. Man, people need to stop having things when I'm out of town playing shows. I feel like I miss a lot of stuff. And you've also got, like, there's been some exciting stuff going on with Wild Child this year. Rocket Boys, I just saw today that their album is number 10 on the rock charts and iTunes.
Yes, it is.
Quiet Company has... Transgressor coming out.
It's coming out in
like a matter of weeks.
Yep, absolutely.
And then of course Mother Falcon has had a pretty great year as well.
Tremendous year.
So these are all different bands that like you're about to make a record. Some of these bands have made a record. They're about to put it out. So this Black Fret helps people at all the levels of where they're at. Yeah, in this cycle of making music, putting out records, touring, doing the thing.
Absolutely. And we recognize that, and we want to make sure, you know, when an artist, we want to be respectful of that. You know, we don't say this grant's for making a new album. You know, it's for touring.
It's for what,
it's
you
for
need.
What you need, you know?
Yeah, for the year.
Because you might have an album in the can, but you don't have the, you know, the gas for the tank and the merch to support it for that tour. Yeah. So use the money, print it up.
Yeah.
Pay your electric bill, you know? Get a new guitar, get new strings. Graham Wilkinson's getting his 1940 Gibson or whatever he's got fixed. He's finally getting it fixed because he got his Black Fret grant.
And that makes me really happy. Well, yeah, when you have like kids and
and
you know your van's going to break, the last thing is your 40s guitar. You're like, shit, I might as well just get a, you know, I've done that. I have the Yamaha over there that I use for that shit.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, it's...
You got to do what you got to do. See.
You do.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm glad that you guys are doing it this way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. For, say, like, the person that's listening now, they're tentative about getting involved. Mm-hmm. Can they just go, like, follow you guys on Twitter and kind of, like, see what your world is like?
Please follow on Twitter. Go to our website. Take a look at the events.
Blackfret.org.
Blackfret.org. Yeah, you're better at this than I am.
Don't you have open kind of things occasionally too, where people can come and?
We do. We're actually
the regular non-members.
Yeah, we're going to do
see what it's about.
Some real like hybrid public, you know, private events.
Yeah.
Some great venues around town. We'll be announcing those soon. and they'll feel like Black Fred events, and you can come and you can get a real flavor, you know. And if you have questions, we encourage you to contact us. There's a contact form on the website, blackfret.org. You can email sustain@blackfret.org. That'll go directly to me and a couple of other folks. And we're here to answer your questions, you know, and we want you to be involved. And even, I mean, the primary goal of Black Fret's to have artists create and perform new music, you know, but an auxiliary goal of Black Fret to me is to try to restore people's perceived value in art. It's really, really, really important to me that when people see someone stepping up and paying $1,500 a year to become a patron of local music for an art form that contributes to our community, just like the opera and symphony, I want that to wake people up and say, you know what, maybe I should pay cover, you know, to go see that band. Maybe I should put a few extra bucks in that tip jar. You know, maybe I shouldn't download that song for free or just take it from a friend. Maybe I should go to the artist's website and buy it directly because I know that's how they're going to get their biggest cut. I want people to understand that. You know, Tim Palmer stood on stage at the Black Ball and said, and I won't do my bad English accent.
Oh, come on.
He said, okay, I'll try. If someone had told me 20 years ago that I was going to stand up here and say that people were going to spend $2 for a bottle of water but expect to get the music for free, I would have told them they were fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But that's what we've got in this world today.
That's true.
So that's what he said, and it was a crystallizing moment for me because I understand the problems, but when I realized, oh my gosh, people are willing to pay for bottled tap water and they're expecting music for free. And I think people have, you know, I think that the genie can be put back into the bottle. I don't think that Napster ruined the music industry. I think that people, you make it easy for people to pay, you make equitable streaming, you know, agreements and so on, and artists can begin to be paid for their money again, and the wheels can be put back onto the bus. There's an entire industry here of booking agents and managers and lawyers and marketing people that all rely on the musicians making money. And if the musicians aren't making money, nobody survives.
I mean, and you're a successful businessman.
I try.
I mean, I don't normally hear that from people in business, like, hey, suck it up, get it changed.
Yeah, no. No, it has changed.
Start a one-man band and go on the road.
Yeah, no, I'm not denying it's changed. It's going to be a different genie that gets put in the bottle or a different genie that's put out. I'm not saying let's go back to the way things were.
Yeah.
I'm saying that...
So you're against Spotify?
No. I'm for any new distribution thing, but let's
find a way for it to pay the artist.
Right. Yeah. Let's pay more than tenth of a cent.
I listen to your stuff on there all day.
Yeah.
And I watch those things on YouTube.
Yeah.
I paid for nothing to enjoy the music of you. Well, I pay for Spotify.
Yeah. Yep. And we do too. But I'm one of those guys where. This is our way of living, so we want to make money.
Yeah.
And if we can make millions, that's amazing. But I think the way I do it, as far as at least my career, is I view it as, I think you have to kind of start viewing, you have to view it as that's your advertisement for your product. You know, and it sucks that it turned that way, but it is that way now.
The product is getting into a room with
the
you.
The product is the show, the live show. Come see my live show for this amount. And my free advertisement for that is the record, I guess. And I want people to buy the CD. I want people to, you know, if you can, you know, go to iTunes or go buy the physical album. You know, we have vinyl. Man, listen to vinyl. I love it, you know. But at the same time, I do the same thing. I listen to Spotify all day, you know. A lot of the albums that I can't find. I'm a big, 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 gigantic Nick Cave fan, you know. And there's a lot of stuff that I can't just go grab. And so I listen to all that stuff. So I just view it as listen to this to where it gets you jones to go see me when I come in your area.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you have a sellout crowd. And because, you know, because I look at it, I was never a big, I mean, the days of the big record labels are gone before I was, in music or, you know, really making a living at it. But the way I understand it anyway, it seems that back in those days, unless you were a long-lasting, gigantic band, you really never made a whole lot of money on the actual CDs, you know,
you never,
or albums.
I mean, you got money, and then they, and then, yeah.
Yeah, your portion may have been, you know, $1 out of the 15, and that $1 you had to pay back to them to pay off the $100,000 record.
Yeah.
You know,
I left a major label.
Did you? Okay,
because
well, then,
of that very thing.
Yeah, so the way I look at it is, you know, the way I heard it from back in those days is that, you know, you made your money at the live shows and on merch, which really is kind of the way we do now. The music is free, as instead of the record label getting all that money, you're just now it's free, and you're still making the money on, hopefully making the money on live shows and merch.
Right.
So it seems it hadn't changed. Just it's smaller. It's a little the
Well, you don't with those things. Like a lot of the reason why we left was we had to. Like, we got a budget to spend on a record, and it was a lot of money. It was more money than anyone had ever, like, really explained to me. And then the next record was supposed to be twice as much, and we were like, oh, man, like, that's a lot of money. We didn't sell any of that first record. Like, this is really terrible. And so when we sat down with our lawyer, he was like, well, you have to sell 1.4 million records to make $1 back from what you've done on your second record. And we were like, oh my God, there's no way we're going to do that. That's terrible. This is terrible.
Yeah.
And so we didn't, so we left.
Yeah.
Because it just, I mean, it takes the fun out of it.
Right.
You know? I mean, you don't have to spend, how do you make, I mean, with George, it's how long do you take when you go make a record?
A week.
Yeah.
You know, 5 days a week, and then, you know, a little bit of mixing and stuff after that. So not very long.
No, I mean, how much of that are you doing, like, yourself? Like, just how many of those performances that I heard on, say, like, the last record?
Oh,
the one that you did with just George.
Yeah, I'm doing everything except the drums.
Okay. Who played drums?
Rick Richards. Okay. You know Rick? Rick is, I think so. Rick's amazing.
Is he George's buddy?
Yeah.
Yes, and he's very funny?
In his dry way. I did all the instrumentation on it except for the drums. Low budget.
But it sounds great. You can make a record and not take, you know, you don't have to go rent Sunset Sound for 2.5 months and do drums for 8 weeks.
Right.
Whatever.
If you have the right people in place, and that's pretty easy to do, I think, in Austin. If you have the right people in place, you can make the same quality record that, you know, that costs $1 million, you can make it with $5,000 to $10,000 if you have the right people, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's kind of
I don't think anyone would know the difference, you know?
Yeah, and that's that different genie that I'm talking about. You know, this is a different scale. You can make, you don't have to sell 1.4 million albums to make your $5,000 or $10,000 back.
Right.
You know? So.
And there's guys like Tim and Eric, or CJ Erickson that have adapted to this model where, I mean, they're still working with the big bands, but they're getting these guys like Quiet Company before they were, you know, and Bob Schneider Records and like whoever, you know, doing these things and scaling down, putting their studio in their house so that they can have a life with their family and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some amazing producers on board, you know, Tim and CJ are two of them. And, you know, Matt Noveski, who's got Orb, is another, you know,
he's on the board.
He's an advisor as well.
He's an advisor.
Yeah. And, they're all incredible people. And, you know, Tim will say over and over again, I'm just happy that I can still work. I'm still happy that I can support my family on this, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a sense that, you know, people need to continue to pay for music if that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be made somewhere because, you know, if the record company's not putting up the money, you know, beforehand to do that, and now the touring and the merch is the only way to make it, you know, then the pie's shrinking, you know?
Right.
I don't
mean this in any weird way. It seems weird that it's easier to get someone to give $20 or even $40 to your Kickstarter or Pledge Music, but you can't get someone to just buy your $10 record anymore.
Right.
Like, it's so weird to think that. Like, why is that?
it's a complex question with not one answer.
No.
You know, but
And I mean, yeah. Does this say if someone is on Black Fret and they're wanting to make this record, but they're really like the budget that they're thinking is way beyond. Can you have a Black Fret grant and do a Kickstarter?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this doesn't inhibit you from getting money from anywhere.
No,
else.
We don't own any publishing rights. We don't own any songs. They're just grants.
Yeah,
just
it's
grants.
Really weird. They're just giving you money. No, yep. No strings attached at all. Just giving you money. Still looking for the strings. Yeah, I know.
Because they come to a weird dude's apartment that really likes you.
Right. Yeah. Sorry about this, Lincoln.
With your
I promise
wife.
You I'm buying you a beer after this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're going to make it.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Alyssa.
No, you know, that's the question. All the musicians, especially Graham, he was always asking the same kind of thing. He just kept asking, well, what's the catch?
The catch? Yeah.
What's the catch? But, you know, apparently there's no catch.
No, we do want to make some, we couldn't get our act together to do it this year, but we do want to make, you know, killer compilation CDs.
Yeah.
You know, next year we want to put one out of not just the grant recipients, but also some of the nominees, you know, because they're just as... Their music's just
That's
as awesome,
cool.
you know?
That's a cool.
And,
yeah.
and you know, so we're trying to capture these live performances as best we can, and we want to put them out, and, you know, we want to cover our costs with that. And then we want to, you know, let's say we put out an awesome Black Fret, you know, CD. Our thought is, you know, we cover the cost, you know, of the mixing and the, you know, recording stuff like that, everything that we need to make it. Then whatever profit we make, we'll split that with whatever artists are on the compilation CD. So 50% of that will go back to Black Fret, and 50% will go to the artists, you know,
That's
split
great.
Between them. You know, we, yeah, we're making a bunch of great content. We've got some incredible video. We've got some amazing recordings, a couple of which only I have. And I listen to them like a greedy little miser.
Yeah.
Going, this is mine. Oh my, no one else in the world can hear this. And I mean, I've got a recording of Shaky Graves, where he recorded just 20 or 30 folks, and only he, Colin, and I have that recording.
So you're like a bootlegger. I bet you have some good stuff.
I got some great
underground
stuff.
Underground.
Yeah.
Are you a Deadhead guy?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I appreciate them, but my dad was a big Deadhead, and he's got a stack of about 20 or 30 like original vinyl bootleg recordings from back in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with the mimeographed cover on them and stuff like that. They're hilarious. Well, not hilarious, but it's amazing to see this, you know, the passion that went into that, you know, so we're trying to create a beautiful archive of Austin music. And, we eventually do want to make that available to Austinites everywhere, and to the world, frankly, but we want to do it in a really equitable way. That's not going to infringe on any of their record sales or any of their future things. We're not going to own any of it. We just, you know, just that recording. We're figuring out all that out now, you know, not on a record for any of that, you know, but we're figuring it all out.
Let me ask you this. When do you announce your nominees? Is that later on in the...
That's one of the beautiful things. It's a 2015 kickoff on January 24th at Gibson Showroom. Go to blackfret.org, learn more about that. We then enter what's called our nomination season, where for the next couple of months, you know, leading through South By, we're going to expose as much new music to our members as possible. Right after, at South By, we'll announce our first two nominees for 2015, which are going to be a couple of the Austin Music Award winners. So we'll announce two from the Music Awards, and that will be when we start our voting. Our members will get to nominate, our advisory board gets to nominate, and our grant recipients like Lincoln actually get to nominate artists this year. So we get the voice of the artist nominating our 2015 class of nominees.
Vote for myself. Just go ahead and put that in there.
It's against the rules, but you can if you want. We'll negate your vote.
Damn.
You've got a fiduciary relationship with yourself and other relationships. But around the end of March, beginning of April, we will announce our 2015 pool of nominees. And then we actually have a really cool event. We have a lot of musicians playing at Art City this year. The Art Alliance and I and Black Fret have partnered up to put on an amazing musical event over 2 days, April 25th and 26th, at Art City Austin. So you can come down and see amazing art and listen to incredible music. It'll be like a little Black Fret festival with 2014 grant recipients and 2015 nominees and just some of the best music in Austin.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we're really excited about that. So it's going to be a great season, all leading up hopefully to our next Black Ball in December of 2015. It's going to be an amazing year of music, and an amazing experience for our members to to give away upwards of $200,000.
Yeah.
So we're tremendously excited.
Well, I am too, and I'm glad that we stay in touch. You should come by. I think you guys were on like a year ago.
Yeah. We'll come back anytime.
Once a year, and we'll talk about what's going on with it.
Would love it. Would love it.
You, however, are never allowed back into my apartment.
Oh, bad vibes.
No, I'm just bad joking. Vibes. I want to, when are you, well, you're doing a show. It's not going to, this will be coming up, but you're doing Friday the 16th?
Yeah.
In Austin?
Red 7, which, like I say,
what time do you
already
play
beard,
that night?
I don't know. Alyssa.
I have a date with
don't
a
know.
Lady
yeah.
that night.
I don't know.
I think I could incorporate that into the thing, because I want to see you in a room.
Yeah, that should be a fun show. I'll give you my contact after the show, and
I can get on the guest list and not pay to get
in. Yeah.
There you go. See, don't pay for music.
What the hell is going on, dude?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right.
But remember to tip your bartender.
Shooting myself in the foot. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, do tip the bartender. But come on.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't play Austin very much. I live here, love it here, but I don't play it. Like a lot of other guys do. Well, I'll play it, once every three or 4 months.
You've got a weekend where you're playing the 22nd at Fitzgerald's in Houston, the 23rd at the Beatnik in New Orleans, Louisiana, and then on January 24th at Jackrabbits in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, it'll be our first little run, I guess.
And then there's another one in
year.
March. I saw. I didn't write it down.
Yeah,
people could just go to your website.
Right. Yeah, check it out. It's just lincolndurham.com. But yeah, we're working on solidifying or confirming all the gigs. But we've got a Northeast tour, a 2 or 3 week Northeast tour that's going to be coming up in March. You probably saw some of the beginnings of that going up. Got a lot of dates for that heading up, through the Midwest and over into the Northeast. And so we try to get as national as possible. So,
yeah.
So we'll be same will be this year. We'll be going from coast to coast and then playing. Like I said, we don't get to play Austin all that much, but every 3 months or so, which isn't a lot compared to a lot of my friends that are from here. But yeah, we'll be in Austin a few times this year. And
do you ever tour with Ray Wiley?
No, I haven't toured with him in a long time. I did for a while when in the early developments. But no, I haven't actually even seen him in forever. Yeah.
George Reef is one of my favorite dudes.
George Reef is absolutely he's I think he gets what I do more than anybody I could ever come across, and so I love having him as the producer. He co-produced the first one, produced this, fully produced the second one.
And he did at his place?
Yeah, at his place. He calls it the Finishing School over on 183 area. Amazing guy. I come up, I present my music kind of the way. I actually do a lot of live shows with the new music before I actually go into studio. Because I just like the way they'll
work it out.
Yeah, they'll progress. They'll change. A lot of times they'll change into something way better. And so I'll do that for a few months and then come into studio. And so I come into it from a live one man band thing. And the mojo and the vibe that George finds in all the particular songs is amazing stuff. Angles that I would have never thought of or heard of. It's the pairing of the two of us. It would be really hard for me to find someone else that I liked more.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. He's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
One of my favorite musicians. One of my favorite dudes to have to be on the road with easily.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Is he's
just fun. He's a good guy.
Yeah, great at everything that he does, but also just a super chill, just really really sweet guy to be around.
Yeah,
so, love him.
I was having this conversation with somebody the other day about another guy who's real good friends with George too, also a bass player, physically almost the same dudes, like little skinny kind of dudes. And they said, it's like anybody can really be good, but like really the deal is if you're a good hang,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a lot of times we'll take people out on the road. Well, not you, because you don't have anyone.
No.
I mean, Alyssa. But yeah. You don't have a band, guys.
No.
Sometimes you'll sacrifice like a badass, you know, and get like a regular badass as opposed to a super badass, because you can sit in a van with this guy and have a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's, I know I've got a lot of friends that are in bands, and some of them get along really well. Some of them get along horribly. And I don't know that one of the reasons literally that I do the one man band is for that reason. You know, it's like Matt and you guys were talking earlier, you know, it's a very, anytime you can cut costs in this world in general, but especially in music today is great. So I do it for that reason. But also it was just, you know, that for the lack of drama, you know, because I don't understand how professionals get it done, but I don't know how they can go out and be creative and do this thing
right
with the amount of angst that they have for one another, you know, as soon as they're off the stage. For me, it would just, you know, embitter the whole thing, and I just wouldn't want to do it. You know, it's kind of, when I was young, I used to have to do I was in fiddle contests, and I hated it. And to this day, I don't believe contests and music should be, you know,
right
together. I just don't believe it's never really done.
Yeah,
music is not for competition, in my opinion. And I think it's the same thing as when you have such piss and vinegar towards each other. You know, how do you make good music when you're in such a bad, you know, a van trip, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know how you do it. So I just, and I don't deal with that very well. So I just like to do it on my own.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I had that presented to me, a band that I was in that split up 20 years ago, like got back together like a month ago or a month and a half ago or a month ago. And played for the first time in 20 years. But, like, we hadn't been in the same room for 20 years. And it was just so weird because, like, the music we made was really good.
Yeah.
And there was some disconnect as people. Like, it wasn't as like, I can't believe we're hanging out together. It was like, well, that song sounded good. You know what I mean? Like, there was a certain thing that was kind of missing that made me glad that I became a solo artist later on.
Yeah, it is. I just think the things that are going around you in life can definitely influence your gigs. Yeah.
How do you think these Mother Falcon people do it?
They're an amazing group, and they're hilarious. Number one, for some reason, I seem to run into Dusty Rhodes wherever I go in town. I think he's stalking me.
The wrestler? Oh, no, the guy. In the, yeah. No, the guy in the band. The guy in the band. Right? No. I had them on the show once, but it was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, what does he have to do with Mother Falcon?
But Claire and Matt and Nick and Isaac, I mean, they're all incredible. John Reedy, their manager, calls them the kids, you know?
Reedy's managing them?
Yeah.
I love John Reedy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. Yeah. Also, new executive director of the Austin Creative Alliance as well.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing a lot for the city. So, yeah, great guy. But
look at that, John Reedy.
Yeah, who knew? All grew up. They're just a great group of kids, you know, and they all have, their personalities are all so distinct. I think that the chaos, it's almost reflected in the music. It's like, let's go for the symphonic chaos. And
I bet they also, they're not as involved in each other's lives as like the Beatles might have been, like just four people.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep up with 67 band members.
There are 60. Actually, they're up to 72 now.
No, how many? Yeah. How many are actually?
I think there are 18 or 19, something like that. But they play in different configurations. They're not always all 18,
right?
You know. Anyway, they're tremendous.
How do they travel? I think I asked them that, but it was a while back.
I'm not sure.
That's when I went to go see the Polyphonic Spree for the first time. This friend of mine from Dallas was like, "Oh, you're gonna freak out! It's Tim from whatever that band
Trippin' Daisy.
Yeah. And you're gonna shit, man! It's got this." And it's like Godspell or something. And I was like, really? But it's a band. Like, all these people get on stage. And I swear to God, all I could do was like having like, how do you get everyone to rehearsal on time? Like,
You're having anxiety attacks.
How are you going to get everyone to the show? Someone's going to be late You know what I mean? Yeah. At least 15 people in that band are going to be late.
Right. Yeah.
That the first time I saw Mother Falcon, that's all I could think too. It's like, how do you do this?
They did an amazing performance for us back in May of 2014 with Casey McPherson opening.
Oh yeah.
And that was an amazing house party, and to see them sound checking, to see them doing the thing. They also kicked off the Black Ball this year, and yeah, it was an amazing opportunity to, you know, walk out there and say, welcome to the Black Ball, ladies and gentlemen, Mother Falcon, and they just hit it. You know, it was just incredible.
You didn't have to go on that after them, did you?
No, thankfully. That was impressive. There was quite a few that blew me away that night, but they were the ones that they were first up, so it was the initial impact. They were legit. I was highly, because I'd never seen, you know, the other thing cool about the Black Fret stuff is, you know, I think a lot of people get the perception that we all know each other, and we don't. We don't know each other, and a lot of times we don't even know each other's music. We never, you know, we've heard the names, but we don't know, you know, we don't know the music, or at least the recipients. A lot of us, we didn't know each other. And seeing that, man, that, I mean, I walked away thinking about them for quite a while, because they were a force.
Yeah.
See, and I love hearing this, because I do assume, you know, oh, you're a musician, you must know all the bands in town and this and that. But that's not the case. So Emily Bell said something just beautiful that night that has continued to fuel me, which was, you know, before Black Fret, we were a community, but Black Fret's made us a family, you know. It was really nice. It was a really, really sweet sentiment. And it's the sentiment that I feel, you know, around them, you know, and a lot of our members express it too. You know, they love these bands. They love this music.
You got all great bands, and you want to know something interesting in the history of Black Fret and How Did I Get Here together?
Please.
Lincoln was the only person that hadn't been on my show yet.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's why I asked for you.
Very cool. Well, yeah. Thank you.
I was like, I'm
sorry for the disappointment.
I know. Well,
Link.
That's all I can give you. It's early though. It's still early. I'm way wittier. Way more interesting.
This has been a great thing. Is there anything that I'm missing about you? People can go to LincolnDurham.com, and your first record that's produced by Ray Wiley and George Reef is The Shovel versus The Howling Bones.
Yes.
And then Exodus of the Deemed Unrighteous, produced by George Reef,
is the second one. Yeah,
is the second
they're
one.
They're heavy.
Yeah,
they're take your meds before listening, and you
I
know,
loved it. Wallow was a great way to start off a gray, drizzly.
Yeah,
cold
I know.
Day.
I love it. I just wallow no, I in do. Your self depression, man. And you're,
do you, and you can find out the dates if you live in Houston. We have some Houston people and also New Orleans people. I don't know if we have any Jacksonville people. But he will be in Houston.
I don't know if I have any Jacksonville people, for that matter.
I hope you do. Do you play Fitzgeralds a lot?
Yes, I do. I love Fitzgeralds. Yeah, we've kind of bounced back and forth between Fitz and we did the House of Blues, actually.
Oh,
which
really?
Was actually a pretty cool
what room?
Show.
The Bronze Peacock?
Yes, the smaller room. And that was a great show. Dug that.
I hope no one from there is listening, because we do a lot of shit with them. But you played the big rooms in House of Blues, right?
A couple times.
Okay,
yeah,
just like it's like when you do it, you get this feeling of someone that's always playing bars. You're like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
If it was like this every night, I wouldn't have a problem.
I would
never get mad.
It's pretty cool too, because they'll have you know, 5-10 people waiting at your van, you know, to grab.
Oh yeah.
For a one man band with her and I, that's really cool to have, you know, 5 people just waiting to grab your stuff and take it in.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
And the sound is perfect. Lights are perfect. There's 2 light people. There's 2 monitor people. There's 2 front of house. It's all golden. But that Bronze Peacock room is the exact opposite. Things are held together by tape. It's like they definitely put all of their energy into this
into
one
the main
room.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like when I played there with Skyrocket, our sound person was like, hey, do you know the subs don't work? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, your subs aren't even connected. So he went in and just like connected the subs. And like one of the bartenders was like, I told you. And he's like, what? He's like, for a year, I've been telling them that. for a year, they just didn't have subs. Like, there was no bass in that room. It was
weird.
Oh, my
God. That's not good. That's not good.
But I do love playing there. And it's weird because it's a a corporate thing, but it's nice.
Yeah, it is.
You start on time, you end on time.
That's one of the things I like. I like to go out and to have fun and party, but when I'm playing, man, it's kind of nice to have the venue. Just, you know, once you're done, all right, we all want to go home.
Yeah, they turn those lights on, yeah.
And we try to do the same at Black Fret, not necessarily end on time, but, you know, when we say we're starting, you know, doors at 7, music at 8, you know, we want to do that. Now, you know, when the main acts are over, if there are musicians there that want to jam and hang out and people want to keep drinking and hanging, we totally allow that. But we've had, you know... It's, you know, all about respect for the members, respect for the artists,
sure.
and you know,
to me,
creating
you
a positive musical experience.
Yeah. If you pay to do something and it says the doors at this time and the band at this time, I mean, I've had to start late because there's something gone wrong.
Yeah.
But no, there's no like, I don't think people do start late though anymore.
No,
like,
I think that
was like a Sly and the Family Stone era thing that, you know what I mean?
I agree because I think, you know, I think the whole culture of the world is instant gratification now. Of course, you know, with all the technology that we have, everybody
if you
wants
don't start on time, someone's going to leave.
Right,
and go do something else.
Everybody wants it now, and I think you see that in, you know, bleeding over, especially into the music, because I think people will lose interest quickly.
Yeah.
And I even think even on a smaller scale, on a more detailed scale, you know, that's why you don't see psychedelic 7, 8, 15-minute songs. You know, I think people are a lot of times. Okay, I get it. I enjoyed that for 3 minutes.
So I can't ask you for your Inagata Davida cover.
No.
Oh man.
No, especially one man band. You don't want to see one man band 15-minute song.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, you know, I think it's the culture now. People want it now.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think it's cool to wait or anything anymore. I don't think people dig that. I'm getting older, so I'm probably getting out of touch with the youth. So I don't know. Maybe they still do like that kind of stuff. But
how old are you?
I am 29. No, that's a lie.
I was about to jump up and kick you in the face.
What am I? I'm 35. 35. Yeah.
Yeah.
I lose track.
Losing touch with the kids, losing track of the thing. Well, Lincoln, thank you for coming by. I really am blown away. I'm really glad that I listened to your music.
Oh, well,
and
thank
that
you very much.
I'm really glad that you guys came by. I'm glad that you're a grant recipient.
Yeah.
That's a great, I hope that helps you in every way.
It helps us a ton.
Yeah.
It really does. What Black Fret's doing is an amazing thing. It's like we said, you know, other than all the sexual favors that Matt asks, there's no strings attached to it, and it's really benefiting the musicians. It's bringing that to the forefront that, you know, is the city runs on music, and yet it seems that the musicians are the least important in that aspect a lot of times, and these guys are bringing that to the light, and I think what they're doing is really cool for everybody, and I wish them continued ongoing success.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, me too. Tell Colin I said hi, and anytime, both of you guys, anytime you want to come on when you finish your record and you want to come back on and do a thing. Or
absolutely, I'd love to.
You and Alyssa want to come over, I'll make some crock pot food.
I'm going to crash your interview with Amy Cook. I love her.
Okay. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
She'll be here in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Beautiful.
All right. Is there anything that I'm missing? Blackfret.org.
Yeah, January 24th, if you're interested in coming, drop us an email. Join Black Fret, become a member. For an amazing night of music and an amazing year of music. It's going to be 2015 is going to be incredible.
Yeah, and LincolnDurham.com.
That's it.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Lincoln Durham, you can find out more about him at LincolnDurham.com, one of the coolest one-man bands I've ever heard. Ever produced by my great friend Mr. George Reef. He will be at Fitzgerald's in Houston on Thursday, January 22nd, and Friday, January 23rd, he will be at the Beatnik in New Orleans, Louisiana, and on the Saturday, January 24th, he will be at Jackrabbits in Jacksonville, Florida, and of course, on Saturday, January 24th, at the Gibson Brand Showroom, they are having the Black Fret 2015 VIP launch party. Featuring Aaron Behrens and The Midnight Stroll. All right. Don't forget, man, if you want to be a patron of the arts, Matt said it, man. He's very cool. He and Colin are doing a cool thing. They've got a great group of people together, great advisory board. They're giving people $10,000 a thing. If you want to get involved, if you want to be a patron of the arts, get involved. Go to blackfret.org, find out what you can do. You want to get involved with Lincoln Durham personally? Go to lincolndurham.com, find out what you can do, okay? Also, don't forget that you can find out about our podcast and what's going on our podcast if you go to our Facebook page, which is How Did I Get Here. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also add it to your favorites on Stitcher. If you don't know what Stitcher is, look it up in your app store, okay, for your app, for your phone, and for your pads. Let's hear some more music from Lincoln Durham, all right? I want to thank Matt Ott and Lincoln for coming by. Don't forget, check out blackfret.org and find out what's going on, all right? Their big VIP launch party this Saturday, January 24th at the Gibson Brand Showroom, all right? Let's get down.
There's a rise in the river, there's a whisper on the wave, a sins in the water that cannot be repaid. Hope in the valley where the children they sing. Dark clouds are rolling while they're shaking their tambourines. When there's a rise in the river, when there's a rise in the river, when there's a rise in the river, you got to get up to higher ground. Moon testifying that the blood that stains these shores will be cleaned by flood and swept away by the morning. A pale horseman warning of impending doom will be falling every man, woman, child, and child in the womb. When there's a rise in the river, when there's a rise in the river, when there's a rise in the river, you got to get up to higher ground. Oh, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, let me beseech, nay, implore you to heed my words today. You better head for the hills, abandon those cheap pills, pour out all your corn liquors and NyQuil's, because you got to stay awake. If not for yourself, then for your little family's sake, lest you make a grave mistake and find yourself death deep in water. When there's a rise, when there's a rise in the river, when there's a rise, when there's a rise in the river, when there's a rise.